check. Post-disco, soul music, dance, soul, hip-hop, house music, industrial dance, and new wave.
Any specific band or artists that you could quote?
In each category.
Mm-hmm. As you wish.
Well, yeah. New Wave, B-52's Pink Poodles, Industrial, Nitzera, Front 42, Section 25, MC, Father of Jesus, Truth Back, House Music, Marshall Jefferson, all the Pierre, all the guys from Chicago. Soul music, everything from, well, anything that was dance, back in the late 70s, early, whooped to mid to late 80s, like Tina Marie, Brass Construction, to James Brown, to just about anything. And hip-hop, Public Enemy, GTFO, DJ Cash Money, Joe Cooley, Egyptian Lover, basically everything that was really happening from maybe 1975 to now. I mean, almost just about every form of music. Even some grunge, Nirvana type bands and things like that. So it's quite a lot.
You are from Detroit. Is this city really has a special spell regarding techno, and can you explain why?
I think it's one of the few places where it has such a concentrated amount of producers that produce electronic music, a specific type of electronic music. And I think that it is because of the surrounding, and we generally had the same type of influences when we were young, growing up in the city, that I think it created a certain type of idiosyncratic mentality to the sound of the music. We all probably grew up with a lot of influence from Motown, soul music, buying records at the same record shop, and reading basically the same type of magazines, listening to the same type of radio shows, and same type of events and things like that. So I think that eventually, once this group of people begin to make music, it has some type of similarity. And then we were all quite conscious as to who was making music, trying to make techno in the early days. So I think there would be some reference and some assistance. Who people were, though you did not know them personally. You knew how they were making it, where they were making it, things like that. So I think it's that community type of atmosphere is what creates the unique sound of Detroit techno.
Okay. For you, the beginning was to be a DJ. How did it start? And when?
Well, it starts before that. I used to be into skateboarding, actually. And music is very closely tied into that. And I think there's where I really got into music. It became so important while you skated, and it created a certain type of attitude. Though it wasn't electronic music at that time, at the beginning, it developed. We began to acquire a taste for more electronic type of sounds. So things like Ultravox and Kraftwerk and Can and those type of groups I became familiar with. And then when the whole DJ craze came around, then started, you know, DJing those records.
Okay. When did you start to be a DJ?
Well, my older brother was a DJ, and he would let me, you know, fool around. So it was probably maybe as early as maybe 1978, maybe 77.
Wow. And after having established yourself as a DJ, when did you start producing records?
I think I became like full-time DJ when I began a radio station, producing a radio show every night. And it was within that show that I began to produce music, because I needed to have material that the other stations in the area did not have. So I began to bring equipment into the studio and then create it earlier in the day and then play it all the night. So it was there where I first began to learn how to program a sequencer and a drum machine, and how to connect the machines together.
What was the idea when you used to work for UR and along with Mad Mike?
Because I had so much radio experience in production, and I'd studied for a little while as a sound engineer assistant in a large studio, so I knew about patch bays and gates and compressors and things like that. When we got together, I had the knowledge of a technical end, and I knew how to program the machines and things like that. But Mike was more of a musician. He could play and really didn't know so much about phantom switches and things like that. So when we got together, we both brought something very unique into the situation, and so we covered a lot of ground very, very quickly, and a certain type of routine came from that. I mean, we would both sit down to make the music, and then at one point he would leave, and then I would prepare everything for the mix, and then he would come back in, and then we would mix it, and then I would edit it on a tape machine and get it together for the format to be mastered and so forth and so on. So we had a system to work on.
And when did you start your own label?
1990, well, the first label was actually a label called Final Cut, which was an industrial label. Mm-hmm. But the first techno label was 1992.
Mm-hmm.
It was at first by myself.
Yeah.
And then I asked Robert Hood, who was still in Detroit at the time, to help me run this label. And then that happened for a few years, and then eventually I just ran the label myself.
Okay, so this was the beginning of Axis.
Yes.
I've been said that you are like workaholic, like you work like crazy all the time. Do you know how many records or EPs and albums you did so far? Is it something that...
A number? No, I don't. I work a lot now, not out of preference, but necessity, I think. There's not a large staff around to work with me. It's just basically just two people that myself as a musician, and then there's someone else in the office that helps running the label. But internally inside the company, it's just two people. But then we work with people like the booking agent is located here in Paris, and graphic designers are located in Detroit and in Tokyo, and we work very, very closely with other people. So. And as far as the number, I couldn't tell you. I don't know. I never started counting. It became too many. So I just,
okay, we're gonna talk about your latest album that's gonna be released soon, At First Sight, on a React label. Why did you sign with React, which is a label from England?
Because I worked with them before, and they were great. They were very, very helpful. My company Axis is still a very small company, you know. So we're not able, though we might be able to release in England, we can't promote because we don't know the market. So we have to ask for help from companies that are based in those countries to help us distribute the album.
Okay, and with this album, it's your fifth album or something like that, I guess?
I'm not sure.
If I can count it right.
It's the latest album. Yeah.
Okay. What did you mean by this title, At First Sight?
It refers to when children are first born and their eyesight is not very clear. And then over time, they begin to adjust, and the irises in the eye begin to adjust to the light and the color, and then it's from that point where they distinguish shapes and separation in colors and depth and scale and height and so on. And it's from that early point is when they begin to learn their place in the world and things like that. So I refer that type of situation to when we were just beginning to learn what techno was and how far it really reached, and back in the late 80s and early 90s. And it was basically that same type of situation. We really did not know how many people were listening to it, where they were listening to it. Everything was very new. And then once we got a sense of what things were, techno really spread, you know, really, really quickly. I would say maybe 1993, 94, we begin to really go very, very far with it. So it refers to that. The image itself is actually taken from, it's a photograph taken by Francois K, of a party at a club called Yellow in Tokyo. And it's out of focus, and then switched around in another position. But so the design itself is actually, in regards to the title as well.
About the influence, what is the idea behind the album? What pushed you to release that kind of music? I read that you are a sci-fi fan and stuff like that. Can you tell us more?
I wanted to release an album that consisted of compositions that had the feeling that they were the main and maybe theme track of something, some type of futuristic what if hypothetical situation in the future. And it wasn't until maybe after I had completed Metropolis or the album Time Machine and Every Dog Has Its Day that I kind of really figured out how to, well, not figured out, but I kind of relived at the idea of really getting into constructing songs that had melodies and they were composed in a way where they had very unique and different body structures and different formations. And I thought that maybe now is the time to do it, since we're probably at the end of an era where we're tapering off the minimalism probably venturing into something else. And these days, I'm trying to incorporate more image into the imagery, more into the music itself. So I'm referring a lot to film and to moving images. So it just comes out in the album.
Yeah, because at first sight, as a cinematographic atmosphere around it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the tracks, the track called Stark, is actually a track that was taken from a project that I had started, which is a documentary project about Detroit. Mm-hmm. And what the idea was that I would go back to Detroit, the place where I was born, film a small documentary, and then compose music to it. And that particular track was one of the ones that I had made ahead of time for that particular project. So in all the tracks, there's some type of visual reference that I use.
The track Punisher, is that something linked with a UR track or something like that?
Yeah, that's the same character that we used in back in UR. And when I left UR, I took that character with me. So I believe, you know, a Punisher track appeared on Wavefront Transmission 3 on Chazor, and I'm considering maybe putting together a separate album with that type of electronic music. Dark, cinematic type of story, type of compositions.
Okay. Rather than being the latest experimental techno album, it's more something that goes back to the roots of techno music. Is it something that you really want to do before going to something else? What is the idea behind it?
Well, I just thought that after so many years of hearing and DJing and making monotone structured music, it's, you know, refreshing, you know, for some people and for myself to hear something that has a melody line that you could probably remember, or something that you could latch on to, or something that would give the listener the feeling as if the music is trying to speak to them in a certain way. That there is some type of line in it that comes in and out that is almost the voice of the track. I thought that would be interesting to kind of revisit and to do that before I move on in another direction.
How do you take yourself more as an artist or a producer?
I would like to take myself more as an artist, musician. But DJing is such an important part of the whole process. It's actually the same position. I've made it the same position. When I DJ, I learn from what I need to do in the studio. So I take those experiences and then go back and compose. And that's how the Purpose Maker label came about. It was because I, as a DJ, I couldn't find the records that were structured in that way. So I decided to go home and then make those tracks. At first, just for myself, to put them on sample disc for me to use. And then I noticed that other DJs were wishing to have the same thing. So I created a whole separate label out of it.
There is no collaboration on this album. The actual trend is really to ask for singers, for other producers to do collaboration and stuff like that. Why you still want to work on your own? Is it something really important for you?
Yeah, it's really important. Well, I think that maybe I feel better about the idea that what is being produced, what eventually comes out on the project or the album, is 100% of the artist's intention. That it's not a compromise, effort. It's not a compromise effort, and that. There's no, I did not hold back, or I wasn't cautious about the final product itself, and so for me, the feeling that it's more pure, because it's only from me, not from anyone else. There wasn't anyone in the studio, no keyboardist playing the melodies that I thought of. It's just me kind of figuring out how to do it. That the listener would kind of feel that it's not I'm not a trained musician, so I can't just kind of walk up to a keyboard and just kind of whisk out the, I have to try to figure it out, and I think it's those type of things that eventually the listener kind of feels what my limitations are, where I excel in certain areas, and I think it's those things that kind of create the character of the track. I mean, when I was in UR, Mike played things that I could never play because I just was not a musician. And so then I think it's more true, I think, actually. Though it may not be better, but it's more true. Music, all of it can't be perfect all the time, so I think it's more closer to reality.
This is a very good album indeed. But as a DJ, you have played, I would say, everywhere in the world, but what would be your best memory ever? Or a few, if you can't
quote. Yeah, there's quite a few. Best memory.
I know that you like Japan a lot.
Yeah, Japan. God, there's been so many. I mean, that's a difficult question, because I do so many parties. I mean, like last night, for instance, was great. It was in Zurich.
But you didn't play techno.
I did at certain times, but the crowd was so mixed that I could play anything. I played from ESG, Moody, to Sylvester, to Adam Baer, to Marco Bailey. So, it was great as a DJ. So,
because many people think that you are just a techno DJ, but you can play anything.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when there's an explosion. That's partly what happens when there's an explosion of a new type of genre of music, and people tend to want to make up their own minds as to what it's supposed to be, and who, what the people are supposed to, the artists, and what they're supposed to represent and what they're supposed to do. And mostly throughout the 90s, I played techno, minimal techno, because that was what I liked more at the time. Though I still loved house and hip hop and things like that. As a DJ, I played techno, and mostly. And before that, I was almost 10 years house DJ, and 5-6 years, hip hop DJ. So I still have those things, in me. And I think that the people that know me as techno DJ should be happy that maybe I can play another type of, because maybe I can play something that they did not know existed, or did not really realize, because they've probably been listening to mostly techno. So I think that that a DJ that has more background actually is something that should be, you know, kept in very, very quite high regard. So older DJs that have been around that can reach back into, you know, disco and grab very progressive things, you know, from early times in Europe and things like that, and integrate those things into what's happening today is actually what makes the music more interesting. If I just play techno all the time, then I think, you know, maybe I'd be in trouble. So before I was techno DJ, I was DJ. It has a different meaning, the intent is more so for making the people happy, not making myself happy, or just playing the music that I made. So
you're famous also for your special skills, DJ skills, about playing with three decks and stuff like that. You're not a lot in the world to be able to do that. How did you develop that skills?
I've been doing that since, I don't know, maybe the early 80s, actually. Mid to early 80s. It started when I first started radio. The radio station thought that it was too dangerous to have just two turntables, because if I should break a needle, it would be dead air. So they put a third turntable into the studio, into the setup, just in case. And it was something that fitted into a cabinet, and it slid out, so I could grab it really quickly and put on another record, so that I would avoid the dead air in case of a mistake. And eventually I just started using the third turntable because it was there. And there's where I learned how to really, at the time it was with hip-hop, so it was a bit more difficult to work. So I had become really, really, really good at it, mixing hip-hop with three turntables because it beats slower. So working the records at a much slower pace and scratching and transforming and cutting on three was much more difficult than playing techno. So then I stopped and really didn't start till using three turntables until maybe the mid-90s. And using three turntables with techno, was very easy, to do, because the beat is much more monotone and stretched out. So there's where it comes from.
Thank you for your time, Jeff, and congratulations for the album. My conclusion would be, I would quote a famous sentence that says, in the beginning there was Jack, and I would say, in the beginning there was Jeff.
Yeah.
Which is the best I can say.
Great, thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.